Let's get to the headlines.
Hello and welcome to Healthcare Strategies Headlines. Woo! Today's episode, AHA warns of social engineering schemes at hospitals. CMS releases price transparency validation tool. CMS also finalizes Medicare Advantage and Part D policies for 2025. And AI for sepsis gets the green light from FDA. Hello, everyone. This is Colin Murphy, Vice President of Editorial at Extelligent Healthcare, and I am joined, as always, by Kelsey Waddill.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Excellent. Did you enjoy the eclipse yesterday?
I did. I didn't get the glasses. I thought I was being cool, and then I regretted it. I was like, I've got too much to do. I can't look at this event. Then I felt a lot of FOMO when I saw everybody else out on their porches. Did you see it?
Yeah, I felt a connection that spanned thousands of years, the human beings looking up to the sky, wondering what this all means, and some of them going blind. Many of them going blind probably in the process. Yeah. I think the best part was at one point from my angle, my vantage point, it looked like the Cheshire Cat and there was just a smiley face up in the sky. And I was like, that's not ominous at all.
2024 started out with a Cheshire Cat smiling from the sky. That feels appropriate somehow.
So how about we go down the rabbit hole? See that? See what I did? All right. AHA warns of social engineering schemes at hospitals. The American Hospital Association has issued a renewed warning about an increase in social engineering schemes targeting hospital IT help desks.
Wow.
This follows an initial alert in January with the AHA observing ongoing schemes, lots of schemes, where threat actors, bad guys, use stolen identities of revenue cycle employees to bypass security protocols.
Wow.
That's a kind of leakage. It's a different kind of leakage.
These
actors call IT help desks, these poor souls just trying to respond to requests. Yeah, you know, posing as employees to reset passwords and attempt to enroll new devices for receiving multi-factor authentication codes, enables these bad actors to access email accounts, divert payments to fraudulent accounts, and spread malware. AHA emphasizes the importance of stringent IT help desk security protocols, including callback verification. Makes sense. In some cases, requiring in-person requests for password resets and device enrollments. That's going to go over really well. People love that. The Health Sector Cybersecurity Coordination Center, better known as HC3, also issued a sector alert recommending similar mitigation strategies. Victims of these schemes are urged to contact financial institutions and FBI promptly, ideally within 72 hours of payment diversion, to aid in the recovery of diverted payments. Despite robust multi-factor authentication protocols, the healthcare sector continues to face significant threats from sophisticated social engineering attacks. Kelsey, you know, healthcare just has a target on its back.
It really does.
I guess, what do you recommend other than urging an abundance of caution?
Well, so we were talking to Morgan Franklin Consulting about this on our Industry Perspectives episode, which came out last week.
Is that at Healthcare Strategies on YouTube?
Yes, you can find it. A YouTube visual version. You can see my face.
These are my jazz hands right now. I'm going crazy.
And you can see Kyle's face on other episodes, in case you were curious.
That's true. You want to know what we look like.
Who are these people? It's up to you. But one of the things that they really emphasized is that no one is exempt from the risks, the cybersecurity risks in healthcare. Kind of what I took away from that conversation is starting at the very beginning, as early as possible in like the vendor selection process, specifically when it regards third-party risk, is essential.
Be vigilant.
Be vigilant.
You can do this.
Be vigilant. Be diligent.
Be skeptical.
Yes.
Healthy skepticism.
I am curious about the in-person password request.
Yeah, that won't.
I don't know how that's going to happen, especially in an increased hybrid environment. But
we'll follow up on that one.
Yeah. Speaking of transparency and non-transparency, CMS released a new tool to help hospitals comply with price transparency rules.
Oh, yeah.
The tool is called the V2.0 Online Validator, and it can analyze machine-readable files, MRFs, and compare MRFs, as it is colloquially known, and compare uploaded MRFs with CMS template outlets and data specifications to ensure that hospitals comply with both form and manner requirements. So in the case of non-compliance, the tool sends users error and warning alerts. Errors reflect that forms are currently non-compliant based on requirements enforced from July 1st, 2024. And if the form will be non-compliant based on requirements enforced from January 1st, 2025, users receive a warning. If the validator identifies more than 250 errors, or if specific MRF errors occur within the first three rows, the tool halts its analysis. CMS qualified that while the validator aids adherence to CMS form and manner requirements, it does not certify full compliance. Still, CMS might use the tool in a compliance review. There is a video explainer on the agency's YouTube page, which is cmshhs.gov, to support users if they have any questions. So
the question is, what does the validator look like? Does he wear armor?
Does he wear armor? I mean, Kyle, price transparency compliance has been in the works for a while and has been a challenge. What do you think about this new strategy to helping hospitals get on board? Also, will they want to?
Yeah, I mean, well, you got to, I mean, for fine sake, but I feel like there's just a slow march forward. It's going to take a lot of goading. So I think we're starting out politely, and eventually we'll move to the phase of not polite. Maybe the warnings will be more than warnings. Maybe it'll be, here's a fine coming your way. So it's about time. I mean, we all just want to know how much it costs, don't we? Speaking of CMS, they finalized Medicare and Part D policies for 2025. Federal agency says these policies aim to foster competition, enhance access to behavioral healthcare services, and curtail deceptive marketing practices. See a lot of commercials on television about Medicare Part C. And let me tell you,
yeah,
a lot of them are not accurate. And they seem to be coercive.
They offer a lot.
They offer a whole lot. Yeah. You know, you can get sneakers. CMS has set a fixed compensation rate for agents and brokers with a $100 increase for initial enrollments into MA or Part D plans. The rule also prohibits volume-based bonuses and the sale of personal beneficiary data by third-party marketing organizations, TPMOs, without express written consent from the individual. Additionally, MA networks must include a variety of behavioral health specialists and telehealth providers. Plans must inform beneficiaries of available supplemental benefits. Yeah, that seems nice.
Seems important.
It seems important, particularly emphasizing outreach for those with chronic illnesses to ensure these benefits contribute to their health and well-being. CMS also implemented health equity-focused policies and updates to out-of-network cost sharing for dual-eligible special needs plans, as well as the Medicare Advantage Risk Adjustment Validation Appeals Process, also known as RADV, as well as Part D Medication Therapy Management Program. So
yeah,
obviously a lot of updates here, but Kelsey, we were just joking as I was reading that out, but there's no shortage of advertising to convince certain gullible folks that you need Part C in order to survive and access Medicare. Your thoughts on actually stepping up kind of oversight of the way these plans market themselves?
Well, it's definitely needed. As you said, like, we're not even the target audience and we're getting these ads. No, I think it's definitely needed, and it's been in the works for a while. It needs to happen. Like, we need to bring it down a notch, but there have been a lot of attempts to do that. And I think that Medicare Advantage plans will find a way around them, but that's my cynicism speaking.
I would say that marketing in general in the United States has a really dark history of manipulation and creating a need for things that aren't necessary. I mean, what is marketing supposed to do? Marketing is inherently about getting somebody to buy something. So
right.
You're just not supposed to. Oh, or maybe just enroll everybody in these plans. Oh, wait, that's the way Medicare already works. Oh. That's funny. Oh, that's weird. Oh, weird.
Moving on from all that policy and all those agencies and trade organizations, we have a new AI tool for sepsis that just got FDA approval. Prognosis Inc., which is a Chicago-based artificial intelligence company that specializes in precision medicine for acute care, received marketing authorization from the FDA for its sepsis immunoscore via the De Novo pathway.
De Novo!
De Novo. This is the first FDA approval of an AI diagnostic tool specifically designed for sepsis. The tool, which is integrated into an EHR, uses a blend of biomarkers and clinical data to make a risk assessment for sepsis within 24 hours of patient evaluation in the emergency department or in a hospital setting. It then categorizes patients into four risk groups based on various parameters, such as hospital length of stay, mortality rates, and the need for escalated care within the critical first 24 hours. The company emphasized that the tool does not issue alerts, which have been known to cause alert fatigue. Kyle, we've had, I think for the past couple episodes, we've talked about different AI tools that are coming out for different chronic conditions or acute conditions. What do you think about the use case for chronic and acute care in AI?
It's definitely important that, I mean, sepsis is obviously a very dangerous condition and it leads to mortality quite easily. and swiftly. So the fact that, you know, clinicians are able to respond quickly and effectively should mean a lot of lives saved, which is, I think, the aim of healthcare in general. I think. I'm not sure. I'm not a doctor.
That's what I've been told.
Not that kind of doctor. That's what I've been told, exactly. So I think it's a good one. I'm encouraged that we have so many of these stories week over week that we're actually hearing some positive applications. So let's see it in action. And hopefully the use cases start to grow in number and we start hearing some positive things about what this technology can do when used for good. All right. Well, that's been Healthcare Strategies. It was a tough one, but we'll see you next week.
Bye.
This is a TechTarget production.